At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Gojo and Golic with Mike Golic Jr. and Mike Golic Sr. on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., Claudia Bellafato, all out here at the DraftKings studio in Boston as it is finally draft day. We made it here. Wandering across the sea of mock drafts for 40 days and 40 nights has finally spit us out on the other side. Sweet merciful Christ. We've got a great show for you guys. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate and review it. Leave us a 5-star rating. Check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network. The best of Gojo and Golic from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, wherever you got that, on the radio. Jam-packed show. Great guest today. Claudia, what do we got coming up for the people?
And the best part of today, too, is everybody's just hammering those hot takes just in case they hit, because you never know. Mm-hmm. Coming up, Alt Rock, speaking of prospects, top tackle prospect, Joe Alt will join us in hour one. On the clock, Mina Kimes and Dan Russini in hour two. How did we get so lucky to land them both?
Shocker. But it is also draft day around here, and we've been building up to this all week. Like Claudia said, pumped to have Mina Kimes on with us, who's out in Detroit now covering the draft for ESPN. Diana Russini and the great job she's done at The Athletic. Some draft rumblings that came out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Her will sift through those and figure out what she's still buying now, just hours away from the NFL draft. Joe Alt, certainly a guy who's going to hear his name called in the top 10, although some interesting shuffling in the offensive tackle market that we can get to here. But, Dad, we were talking before the show. What a far cry this is now, where the draft has become this barnstorming phenomenon around the NFL. When back in the day, I didn't realize your draft in 1985 was on Tuesday and Wednesday, and you got the call at midnight that you were going on to your NFL dream.
Yeah, it was from 1936 to 1987. The draft was on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And I think my draft, I wasn't there. I think it was in New York. And so Tuesday and Wednesday, I got the call Wednesday night, midnight or a little before midnight. That was the 10th round. They still had two more rounds to go. I think at that point you got 5 minutes, but it probably took 30 seconds for some teams to pick at that point. But yeah, so it was Tuesday, Wednesday. My brother Bob, who was playing in the league at that point, brought up a bunch of beer and we were just going to kind of hang out. We had a lot of time to hang out from the start of the draft through Tuesday. Tuesday night, Wednesday through the draft.
Your BAC had to look like one of those win probability charts on ESPN.com, just going back and forth in a close game.
Luckily, I went nowhere. So I went, got a little tipsy, got a little hungover, got a little tipsy, got a little hungover. I had the ups and downs.
A lot of hairs of the dog.
Until I got that call from the Houston Oilers, you youngsters out there, the Houston Oilers, not the Tennessee Titans, that I was their 10th round selection. So It was a cool moment. It was a very, very cool moment, no doubt about that. But all these guys that are getting ready to live their dream, getting ready. And I would say we talk so much about the first round guys and all the names we talked about over and over and over and over again. But, man, it doesn't matter. You get drafted. You were an undrafted free agent. As I've always said, it being first round, great second round, that's all cool. But just getting issued shoulder pads and a helmet and getting a chance. That's the thing. So don't get bummed if you don't go where you think you're going to go or don't go at all. If you then get to sign with the team, if you get a chance, if you get a chance to put that uniform on, you get a chance to show something and try and make your dream come true.
That being said, I do recommend being a first rounder.
Yes,
if you've got the ability to. It is a much better way to go about entering your NFL life than being an undrafted free agent, where when you show up to rookie minicamp in the offseason program and you see you and another guy have the exact same number, and everyone's like, well, one of y'all ain't going to be here. Have that realization that immediately it becomes the dog-eat-dog world at that next level. That becomes a lot easier when you've got that one next to your name. So for the fellas that are getting ready to experience that tonight, congratulations. Yep. It is a life-changing sum of money, even in this new world of the collective bargaining agreement, and it is an incredible opportunity to go live out the dream that we are very excited for here.
You should still be proud, though. It's just crazy to get on a roster in general, right?
Listen, it was an awesome experience. Like, I am tremendously thankful for it. I got to meet a lot of great people, and I got to see up close what it takes for these guys, the veterans around the NFL, the guys who have made this their livelihood, to sustain at that point, to get to look at the work up close and to see the way that these guys and some of these organizations operated was an invaluable experience. From the months of like April until the beginning of September. Great time.
Journey.
Really get to know the city in the summer. Not when you're busy with all that in-season stuff there. Waste everybody's time. So as we look ahead to the draft tonight, Claudia mentioned it. It's our last chance to get some of the hot takes out. At some point, we're going to have to revisit the take box in there, our time capsule.
In the wine box.
Yeah. God.
Why you knew that was
the wine, wine box.
Every time you can't just suspend disbelief with us. So for some people this is an audio medium and so they might not know.
All right.
A wine box, but it's our time capsule. There we go.
Well, I say wine box, I don't know exactly what I'm saying.
Picture
what a wine box looks like.
At this point they will know, but we're getting some takes in there. We also want to get the last minute draft takes out here. So Claudia, we're taking a look at DraftKings Sportsbook. We've got our pick'em pool that people can enter on the DraftKings Sportsbook right now with a chance to win $1,000 in bonus bets right now. You go on there, the Gojo and Golic pick'em pool there. We've got a bunch of these draft props up that people can take a look at here. So why don't we run through some of them and get out our last bit of hot takes here before the night starts?
Yeah, so this first market we're looking at is sort of the opposite of hot takes because we're talking about the top three exact order, which we have been talking about Caleb Williams minus 20,000. The reason you might be asking, why would I approach a market like this? It's to bring the juice down. So instead of betting Caleb Williams at minus 20,000 at number one, number two to go to Jaden Daniels, now minus 1,000. Keep in mind, that was close to even money between him and Drake May, now minus 1,000. Or number three, Drake May, minus 240. You can basically parlay those together. It was minus 175 before the show. I just looked at the updated number, minus 235.
Wow.
So people were quick to run to that. Now, again, this is just one of the markets. We have several at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And I guess I was going to ask you guys if that's a bet you would make, but now at minus 235, I don't see a ton of value. Do you think that's correct, though, to be steamed? Do you think 1-2-3 is set in stone?
So I think that's the right order in my mind. Now, I would still have Drake May as the second quarterback. Like, if I was picking this draft, I would be drafting Drake May second overall. I think there was a strong argument for him and Caleb Williams to have a little bit more of a back and forth at one, but I think ultimately that willed out the right way. That being said, it's hard to ignore the steam there is around there. Now, if you were looking for one that's got a little bit of wild card value, the one right behind it, plus 185 of Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy, just because of how weird and noisy J.J.'s been in this entire pre-draft process, could be an interesting one, but I do think at the end of the day, we're going to see Caleb Williams go to the Bears, we're going to see Jaden Daniels go to the Washington Commanders, and then the Patriots sitting there at three, Drake May, I think that is a coup for them.
I do as well, and a lot of talk, I think, because we're so stuck in our head, the old regime of the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick, that they're the movers and the shakers all the time.
Sure.
But this is a new regime. They need a quarterback, and I think I agree with you. I think this is the order that it's going to be, Drake May being third. Then, to me, it gets interesting with J.J. McCarthy because we've had so many thoughts of trading up to get him. But what if he goes, what if Minnesota, that's the team most talked about, moving up, what if they stay where they are and end up getting a J.J. McCarthy? Because we're so in tune now with thinking they're going to trade up. J.J. McCarthy, we go all the way back to the end of the season when the first mocks started coming out. We were seeing J.J. even in the first round at like 11 or 12. You and I were both like, really? We don't really kind of see it. But now we've been so fed fed into that Minnesota may trade up to get him in the top five.
It's funny. I think that this is kind of like in contract negotiations when a huge number gets leaked and then ultimately what you settle on feels like a bargain.
Right.
Where I just saw Trevor Sycamore, our buddy over at Pro Football Focus, put out his last predictive mock, had the Vikings staying at 11 and taking J.J. McCarthy. And man, how funny it would be if after all this draft cycle where we've had him built up to be, oh, he's the top quarterback, he can be taken in the top four. If Minnesota got him at 11, the collective feel would be, oh, what a
steal.
Bargain
yeah,
for
what
them.
A steal.
They didn't have
exactly.
to trade up. When in actuality, it's probably still overdrafted relative to what we originally thought. Claudia, that does lead to the market, though, on total quarterbacks taken in the first round, which I think could be pretty interesting.
Yep. So if you can think of all of the players, what number do you get to? Is it six or more senior? Because if so, you can bet that at plus 180 first round.
So that's the record, just for to give a little history here. 1983. It was six quarterbacks in the first round in order: John Elway, Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, Dan Marino. That was within pick 1 to 28, six quarterbacks went. That's the record. So I think five go for sure. I think I think five go for sure. I think Penix is the fifth. There is part of me. What's the number on that?
So this is 6+. The total quarterbacks first round over 4.5 is minus 400. So this is giving you plus money. So the five is expected.
All right. Okay. So I'm tempted to go six. I'm tempted just because the quarterback can be so overvalued that someone, I think Bo Nix would be that sixth one and has a shot to go in the first round.
I think we have a better chance of getting four than six. I think we have a better chance of it stopping with J.J. McCarthy than we do it getting to Bo Nix. I have so much of Will Levis from last year stuck in my head where we were all so convinced this was going to be a top 10 quarterback because of the offense he played in, because of the arm strength, because of all the physical traits and skills. And while it's different evals for the quarterbacks we're talking about, right? Bo Nix, less of the physical ability, huge body of work we talked to yesterday. Michael Penix Jr., incredible tape, big-time numbers, big-time production. Injury concerns are the risk, but I think ultimately some of those same things could be what drives a lot of this conversation and actually has teams say, hey, we can hold pat and probably get these guys back in the second round. So I think we've got a better chance of four than six.
Okay, I'll say a better chance of six than four.
And I will say the Patriots, I don't know what they're trying to do to us, but they posted something about Christian Gonzalez last night saying drafting a duck, which I know he went to Oregon.
Yeah.
Now everybody's like, does that mean Bo Nix? I'm like, please tell me that doesn't mean Bo Nix. Just take three
men. Maybe trade back. Maybe they'll trade back.
I get it. Yeah, and still to get a good quarterback. Pieces. It is possible. All right, let's talk about something that you want to go, Joe. How many linemen will go in round one? Over 9.5, juiced, minus 180. Do we see any value going under? So
is
nine
this,
or less at plus 140.
Is this all linemen or
all linemen?
Round one. Yeah, all linemen.
All linemen in round one.
This is easily over 9.
Total offensive linemen selected in round one.
Yep.
This is total offensive linemen.
Yeah, total offensive linemen selected in round one.
Okay, I think it's over 9.5.
I do too. Yeah. I just think this year it seems to be so many. The biggest difference this year is you've got incredibly talented guys. You've got a bunch of tackles, which is usually the sexy thing.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May.
Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Some moves to secure two of their best current players ahead of adding new ones tonight. They agreed to a four-year, $120 million extension with wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown and a four-year, $112 million deal with offensive tackle Penei Sewell. St. Brown's contract includes $77 million guaranteed, the most guaranteed money for a wide receiver in a single contract in NFL history. Sewell's contract, $85 million guaranteed, the most for an O-lineman. So these dudes getting paid ahead of the season, Gojo.
Penei Sewell is 23 years old.
I mean,
crazy.
That, like, we've talked about some of the young guys coming out in this draft. The fact that he is 23 years old and is already an accomplished all-pro caliber player and they got to invest in like this, that guy's going to make so much money in his career. And right now, Dad is on gold jacket trend and shows no signs of slowing down.
A couple days to show, you did a radio hit and I did one yesterday on the same station. And just to rip you as an O-lineman and me a D-lineman, I gave the O-line are the worst athletes on the field, blah, 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 blah. O-lineman, the athletic ability of them over the years, it has really been impressive. And this guy is right about at the top of the heap with his athletic ability.
Prime Trent Williams has probably been one of the best modern O-line athletes. You talk with Joe Alt about, Lane Johnson in Philadelphia, too. I'd put Penei up at his size against anyone. That is one of the most fluid movers and insane body types I have ever seen. So to lock him down for the duration there, listen, I'm not going to go back and totally re-legislate the draft class he was a part of, but we had this conversation about him versus Ja'Marr Chase and the meme that was out there. I'm just saying the Lions decided to pay him first. I don't know if that makes him the winner or not, but it seems like picking, and again, it's all about skill sets and body types. There are not a lot of him walking the face of the earth right now. Ja'Marr Chase is a special player. You can find a lot more of those body types out there in the world. There are not a lot of 6'5", 6'6", 330-plus pound guys who move like a deer like that, who also give you receiver touches, oh, by the way, as we've seen in that offense. So I don't want to say that this is a total win for the beef community, but, man, it feels like we can call the fight now. Yep. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. They did what they needed to do. They're also a team, real quick, I know we're going to talk about them, hung on to their coordinators.
Yes,
They were head coaching candidates. So this is a team primed to make the next jump.
The meme where you can have O-linemen throwing to anybody there. Not just anybody. Amon-Ra St. Brown, highly paid, well-deserved, absolute beef receiver, big O-line vibes for him. And so they are the class of this NFC North, Claudia, as we look ahead at the draft needs here for everyone else trying to play catch-up with the Lions right now, which is a funny thing to say.
Yeah, if you're looking at the other needs too, cornerback, receiver, edge, safety, tight ends on there. But if you guys are looking at the class heading into tonight, anybody that really stands out for you, senior?
I think for the Lions right here, I mean, looking for them, we'll go reverse order on this as we look at the North. They're the last pick, the 29th pick out of this division. And, Dad, they did lose one of the sneaky ones this offseason. We talked about O-line is the star of the show for Detroit. It's the way Dan Campbell's built that program. Jonah Jackson has been, I think, one of the most underrated players in the NFL the last few years. On a line that's got other stars, he was never going to be the first name. But losing out on him, sneaky a big one now. So at the end of that first round, I don't know if you'd go O-line there. Some people have them mock defense still an area that I think opposite a guy, you know, like your former top overall pick, you want to still help out.
They picked up Zeitler, though.
They did pick up Zeitler, which is a big one.
To replace Jonah Jackson. Listen, this was a team that was 27th in pass defense, 23rd in sacks. I think they had 41, but they were 23rd in the league. I think they're going to go either edge rusher, maybe a Chop Robinson, maybe a cornerback. Cornerback is going to be not as deep as it's been.
Sure.
As when we talked about it in last year's draft. But I think it will be on the defensive side, and I think it will be one of those positions.
Yeah, smart to keep investing on that side of the ball there. You've made some strides, especially in the front seven. Now you got to pair it on the back end there as well. So I think they'll go defense there. As we take a look and start with the Bears, the number one overall pick. Caleb Williams is obviously a foregone conclusion at this point in most people's mind. We've talked about this team has done a good job of building up their roster over the last couple of years to get it into a much better place. Dad, that ninth pick overall, I think also most people look at that and assume, hey, that's probably could and should be wide receiver, to add weapons around Caleb Williams.
I think you're going to get one of the top three, right? Between Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze. They may possibly be gone by then.
You game it out. Arizona at four, probably going to take the best of that group there. Most of the mocks have Malik Nabers going at six overall to the Giants. And then it's really, can you get through Tennessee, who, listen, you could argue still. I mean, they picked up wide receiver this offseason there. You still had DeAndre Hopkins as a holdover from last year. I doubt they're going to do it. Atlanta, there's no way they go offensive skill again in the top 10. They're chock full of it there. So you'd have a decent chance of having the third. And, man, if Roma Dunze falls to them, Chicago already feels like a team that's on the precipice of making that Houston Texans-like jump from last year. You throw Rome into the mix with Caleb, and that's a really potent cocktail.
I agree.
So the Vikings, I think, in most people's estimation, the most interesting team in this first round in terms of what they could do as a mover, that team everyone's had trading up. They've got the 11th pick and the 23rd pick overall in this draft. And we know this conversation starts with quarterback, Dad. Do you ultimately think there's any way they walk out of the first round without a quarterback?
They're not going into the season with Sam Darnold as a starter.
Yeah.
Or if he is, it's a bridge. But they're a team, I think, that needs to get a quarterback and insert him in day one. Right, and just say, this is now your team. Because Sam Darnold got his second life. He was backing up Purdy out in San Francisco. Now going to Minnesota, I think that's going to be his lot, to be the backup Sam Darnold on the teams eventually, if he goes to, with occasionally being that guy counted on to keep your team's head above water. I think they're going to have to go quarterback and insert that quarterback and give him the job right away.
Yeah, and I know we talked about it. There were mock drafts where, hey, we saw maybe they could wait at 11 and get J.J. McCarthy. I just think with Denver and Vegas lurking there, they're not going to be able to take that risk.
That's the risk, right? That's the roll of the dice.
Right, and I just don't think at that position you can take that.
Agreed.
Given where they're at right now, which is still have a chance to be competitive in the North. Like, it looks like a division that belongs to Detroit and Green Bay after last year. But if you're the Vikings, Justin Jefferson's contract hanging in the balance there, I don't think you can afford to take a massive step back. Because, man, if you were able to hold on to both these picks and you're at the end of that round, we know you sort of went wife swap at pass rusher with the way that you had Danielle Hunter out, but you bring in Jonathan Greenard from Houston and you guys basically swap partners there. But, man, if you could sit at that edge and add another edge rusher to that defense, that'd be great in that 23 pick range for one of those guys in this class to fall.
They still need help on defense. I just mentioned, was the Packers who, as far as is sacks. Oh, no, the Lions. The Lions at 41 sacks. Minnesota only had two more than that. So it's not like they were a sack-happy machine either. So they need still some help on that D-line, too. So I think at that position, they go for that edge as well.
Yeah, they do. I just don't think they're going to have that 23rd pick to work with. I think they're going to have to package that up.
If they're going to move up, you're right.
I just don't think they're going to be able to sit at 11 as great as that would be for them and walk out of this with the quarterback that they want, which is likely going to be J.J. McCarthy at this point. Everything we've seen is the lead-up. Stranger things have happened on draft night, but at this point, it does seem like that's where we're settling. The Packers at 25 overall becomes really interesting here. It seems like corner or offensive line, probably an area they go here. This has been an offensive line with a lot of versatile parts. They lose John Runyon this offseason that had been a part of that group as well. And so some people look at Tyler Guyton is a prospect I've had trouble mocking in the first round of my own. But I think in this system, in these Shanahan McVay guys with a big-time athlete like that, in a scheme that wants to get you on the move, get you running, use those skills, I think the scheme at Oklahoma didn't necessarily favor Guyton's gifts. I think this could be a really interesting landing spot if he makes it to 25.
As you mentioned, they lose Runyon. They lose Yosh Nyman, another old lineman. Obviously, Aaron Jones gone, but they did pick up Josh Jacobs from the Raiders. So this is a little toward the end of the round. You have talked about, especially a lot of the top O linemen. Here you mentioned Tyler Guyton, another guy, Amarius Mims. So what about him? You know, is he a fit there? These are some of the linemen names that are going down lower in the first round of how you differentiate between them.
Yeah, I Amarius Mims, of the guys towards the back half of the O-line draft that are tools-based and projections, because Amarius Mims just hasn't played a lot of football, came into this year without a lot of starts, got injured early on. He's the one
you're
I feel on most.
Come there, right?
There's not many 340 guys that have the tapered V-weight, but also technically are a little bit further along than most. I've said he's like this year's O-line Anthony Richardson, where the bones are there, he just needs more reps. He's not just a toolsy guy. Technique-wise, I don't think he's all that far off. So We're excited to talk about even more beef. Congratulations to Panay Sewell on the payday.
This is Gojo and Golic on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and with the draft now just hours away, it's time for one last round of bold predictions and analysis. To help us out with that, we bring in our friend, ESPN NFL analyst and host of the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast. Mina Kimes with us here now. How you doing, bud?
As well as anyone can be doing ahead of the most exciting. I think this is the most exciting night of the year. I really do.
Are you still excited? Because I know the draft season is long and it is full of takes. You've been doing an incredible series of mock drafts with so many great analysts in the lead up here. So that hasn't diminished any of the excitement for you.
No, if anything, it's increased it because I've really tried to get guests on that series on YouTube with like really divergent opinions. So on one hand, you know, you had a lot of folks kind of going with the consensus of Caleb first, then it's probably going to be Daniels, then May in the draft. We'll see. But I had Chris Sims, who was really low on Drake May. Nate Tice, who was really high on him. In fact, he's his favorite quarterback. I had Paul Feinbaum, who was absolute chaos. So it's been fun to see how everybody feels about these quarterbacks.
All right, so let's jump in there because do we learn from history at all? And the history doesn't go back too far. We're predicting five quarterbacks in this first round. All the way back, Mina, in 2021, just years and years ago, we had five quarterbacks taken. To this day, four are no longer with their original team. Only one, Trevor Lawrence, is with his team. Does the NFL learn anything, or is the continued reach for a quarterback going to continue forever?
Well, I hear you, but I just did a pod with Bill Barnwell revisiting the 2018 draft, which had Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And so the promise of finding one of those guys is what makes you keep swinging. The hit rate is lower than some other position. I think it's probably, with 2021 factored in lower, it's lower than a lot of positions like wide receiver, for example. It's harder to find your answer at quarterback. But because if you do find him, it's so valuable, completely changes the course of history for your team, your franchise. You got to keep trying. I think the lesson to be learned is not don't draft a quarterback, but rather to look at the failures of those teams in evaluating certain quarterbacks, which we can talk about, and then putting them in the right situations, hiring the right coaches, that sort of things. And that's what makes a team like New England so fascinating, right? Because many people, myself included, don't view that as a good situation for a quarterback, which raises questions about whether they would be smart to trade down and improve the offense around them. I hear that. However, saying that, you don't know when they're going to get another shot at a guy like, you know, the top three. So it makes it very difficult.
Ultimately, Mina, how many quarterbacks do you think end up going in this first round outside of those top three?
I think four. I am not really buying the expectation that Penix or Nix go in the first round. I do think McCarthy goes in the first round, but and I'm a Washington Huskies fan. I love Michael Penix. He's responsible for the greatest college football season of my lifetime. But I do think that the concerns about his health and then the age and some reasonable dings on accuracy over the course of the season will put off certain teams. He's been linked a lot with the Raiders. I do not see him going at 13. We'll see if I'm wrong. So the question then will be whether or not they're incentivized to trade up in the draft to go get him. They don't have a lot of draft capital to do so, though.
So I that's my thought, Mina. I actually think he could end up being the best quarterback out of this draft, but you do have to cross your fingers because of the injuries. I completely understand that. What about the possibility of not going up to get him, but going back deeper and later in the first round to get him? I know you lose out of getting somebody at that spot, but still get your quarterback while picking up some assets.
That, I think, actually makes more sense for the Raiders because of their draft picks. I think the question is kind of just how far you'd have to go, because you're not really competing with any teams at the end. But it would be a question of whether Denver, which also, you know, Denver doesn't have a second round pick, whether or not they have the flexibility or interest in moving around the board. And then the Rams are another team. That doesn't really make sense to me, but they've been linked with Penix as well. That doesn't make sense because my feeling about Michael Penix is if you draft him, he should play immediately. You know, he is not the kind of quarterback you sit for years into it, part because of his age. Yeah. He's 24. I'm like, yeah, this Social Security, you know, just around the corner from Michael Penix. I mean, that's the draft, right? But I think it's going to be, it's a lot of chicken with who are you actually competing with. How much would you have to give up? What would you gain in moving back? But I do think that would make sense for Las Vegas.
Mina, we've talked in this draft cycle so much about the quarterbacks. And really, I think a lot of, you know, the prime position players, whether it's a wide receiver, offensive line, everyone's kind of become well acquainted with a lot of the names that have been up top for a while. Is there a prospect that you've seen as the biggest riser in this draft cycle? Someone whose stock, maybe outside of the quarterbacks, has risen the most in the months since we finished college football season?
Ooh, that is a really good question. I just had Matt Miller on my pod, and he said something that I've been hearing from a few people, which is that teams really love Byron Murphy Jr., the defensive tackle out of Texas. And Matt said he could be the first defensive player, which stunned me because I think everybody's been assuming, myself included, for a while that Atlanta is likely to stick at eight and take Dallas Turner or trade down. And then a team would come up and get a receiver, probably Roma Dunze. But that's a player where, like, I get it. Like, you know, when I watch him, I feel like his tape is just so easy to translate to the NFL. It's so easy to imagine him slotting into a team with the 4-3 that needs a truly disruptive 3-tech. I mean, it's funny because Atlanta's assumed to take an edge rusher, but right. He does remind you of Grady Jarrett, who's on their team when you watch him. And I think for a good reason. It's a lofty comparison, no doubt, but I do see a lot of Jarrett in not just his size profile, but the way he uses his hands, how quick he is at the line of scrimmage, his athleticism. So that's a player I wouldn't be surprised if he goes pretty early.
All right, I'm going to really qualify this question, Mina.
Oh,
take out the quarterbacks,
okay,
and take out Marvin Harrison Jr. 3 years from now, which player do you think will have the most impact in the league?
I think Roma Dunze is going to be a star. All year I was saying, actually, maybe you could call him a riser too, because I felt some way about him watching him at UW. And then it was kind of interesting to see everybody, like people like Daniel Jeremiah, who thinks he's the best receiver of the draft, sort of echo how I felt. So what I said about him all year in college is I could not watching him get his game. And I, to be honest, you could say this about Harrison Jr. too, but just talking about Adunze, I can't imagine a world in which he's not good in the NFL. Like, you know, no prospect is bust proof. You know, there's the history is littered with examples of guys who everybody thought were sure things. But when you watch him, he is so good at all of the things it takes to play receiver at the highest level, the little things, the little nuances in his releases, how he sets up defenders, the way he uses his hands after the catch. I think he's underrated. He has the athleticism, the production, the size. He has everything, the mental makeup from all accounts. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal character guy. I would be stunned if he is not good.
Yeah, that seems to be blue chip stock that you have the chance to buy there. And he's one, as you go through the draft process, I always think it's interesting, Mina. We're all trying to project guys to the next level. Like you said, the things that seem easy to replicate on the NFL level that are familiar based off what we've seen be successful there. And then there's also the people that you just flat out like watching. Roma Dunze, for me, was one of those guys. Very aesthetically pleasing game. I've talked about Talisi Fuaga at Oregon State being one of my favorite guys. Do you have someone whose tape has been like a breath of fresh air for you? Like when you turn this on, you're actually just legitimately excited to watch this player.
I mean, Laiatu Latu's tape is like snuff film, if you like, pass rushing. It's ridiculous, guys. What he did to the Pac-12 should be illegal in 50 states. Like, it is, I mean, good God, Arizona, USC, I've said this before, but I actually wasn't intending to watch him. I start with the quarterbacks right after the Super Bowl. I put on USC. I'm watching Caleb Williams. I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I get to UCLA, and I had to hit pause and just text everybody I knew who likes pass rushers. And I was just like, have you guys like watched this Latu? I mean, I watched him, you know, watching in real time, but oh my God, on tape, he's unreal. I think he is about as polished as a pass rushing prospect as we've seen in recent years. And he's just, you know, so many of the pass rushers taken over the last few years, this isn't new, are projections. You think of a guy like, you know, Trayvon Walker with Jacksonville, where the production's not quite there in college. I think Anderson Jr. is different, where the production really matched the athleticism. But there's been a lot of guys who are just like athletes, and it's like they'll figure it out. They'll develop, you know, a second move and a count when they get to the NFL. And then you turn on Latu's tape, and it's already there. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's so fun to just pause, watch, see, like, and we'll see where he goes. I think that's one of the bigger question marks in the first round.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Breakdown of the biggest needs for tonight's NFL draft. And in the AFC North, the Bengals got requests for trades ahead of tonight's draft from two of their current stars. Pro Bowl edge rusher Trey Hendrickson reportedly requested a trade Wednesday per Adam Schefter. He's looking for a more long-term security despite reworking his deal less than a year ago. And then wide receiver T. Higgins, who received the franchise tag from the team, also requested a trade in March. Bengals pick at 18. Gojo, how do they approach this draft? And what do you think about these two trade requests so soon after they already worked out deals?
Not surprising for historically one of the cheapest franchises in sports. I mean, this is not I just saw a podcast appearance that Andrew Whitworth did, former Bengals offensive tackle that wound up finishing his career and winning a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams. And he talked about how difficult it was when you feel like you've outplayed your contract at that organization to try and get them to pony up for that long-term extension. He mentioned one year, I think in 2015, when he tried to go back to the table with them, they ended up drafting an offensive tackle in the first and the second round here. This Bengals team drafted Miles Murphy out of Clemson last year in the first round, and I saw some mocks had them potentially looking at edge rusher again, which would send a pretty clear message to a guy that outside of T.J. Watt last year, Dad, was the most productive sacker of the quarterback in the NFL with 17 and a half.
They have gotten better. Let's give Cincinnati credit. They have gotten better over the years because I remember back in the days
of ESPN. Got better at what?
At better at paying and treating their players better.
I feel like they got better because they lucked into Joe Burrow, who forced them to actually behave like adults.
As I did an interview years ago with Takeo Spikes when he was with the Bengals, and he talked about how it was difficult to get a regular-sized towel for showering.
They used to have to walk across the street to the University of Cincinnati's indoor. So like, that was a poverty franchise.
It's gotten a little better. They've got some talent, obviously, with Burrow and obviously Ja'Marr Chase, who they picked up the fifth-year option on. That was a no-brainer. But they're going to have to pay a lot of people. Hendrickson wanted, him and his agent wanted a long-term deal. Didn't happen. It was a year extension they got. So still hoping to get a long-term deal from Cincinnati. T. Higgins is on the franchise tag, which if they don't get a new deal done, I'm sure he'll play on this year. But they definitely have some people to pay.
They have a lot of people to pay. It seems like Hendrickson might be the odd man out in this one, despite a guy who, ever since he came there, has outplayed his expectations, been one of the most productive rushers in the NFL. And that's the volume stats, that's the deep metric stuff, pass rush win rate, all these different things that you can measure to show this guy's been incredibly effective for Lou Anarumo's defense.
Yeah, he has. But all that said, they're probably going to go on the offensive side, right? Losing Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle.
Sure.
Because Burrow has now been hurt a couple of times.
And listen, they went out there and they acquired Trent Brown this offseason. You already had Orlando there as well. So I think what you've got is an offensive line that on the bookends, two of the biggest guys in the sport trying to protect Joe Burrow, but going an offensive line, J.C. Latham doesn't seem like it's going to be down there anymore, but that could be Amarius Mims main. If Talisi Fuaga, a guy who could kick inside and be an interior guy for you, drops down that far, I think that would be insane value for them. But, yeah, the charge for this team is pretty simple. You could say defensive back might need some help, but I think if you're the Bengals, you got lucky. Like I said, you hit the jackpot. The Joe Burrow was one of those rare quarterbacks that gets drafted and actually can lift a franchise, actually can survive being sacked 70-plus times in a season with the wide receiver crew you ended up there. Seems like you're going to be able to keep the band together for one more year. I think they're going to strong-arm T. Higgins on that franchise tag unless he's really willing to play hardball.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think he's going to play.
And so now it's, hey, you got to get this offensive line, which they tried to do, right? They tried to do what the Chiefs did in hockey line change the group in front last year, but now you've really got to push all your chips to the center of the table.
Yep, I would agree with that. Then you look at Pittsburgh. They have the 20th overall pick. You know, is it they lose Deontay?
By the way, Orlando Brown, just because I couldn't finish out the last name before. We had him on the show at the Super Bowl. Great
they,
guy.
They lose Deontay Johnson. Well, we know with the wide receivers, they have some personality issues as well.
Well, I mean, Deontay Johnson was a big part of that. You know, the fumble incident earlier in the year where it looked like a lack of effort showing up on tape. We heard, I mean, there was a players-only meeting through all this. We talked with Cam Hayward about some of that discomfort there. And so now you're trying to kind of remake that. You're trying to kind of turn the page on this offense by swapping out the quarterbacks, the changing coordinator you made last year. So
you have two quarterbacks now on one-year deals, right? For the Steelers, Russell Wilson on that one-year deal for league minimum because Denver's paying everything. And they did not pick up who they picked up, Justin Fields, but they did not pick up his fifth-year option. So both quarterbacks, 1 and 2, are on a one-year deal. So we'll see what goes on with that. But you got to believe that I got to go O-line here, Mike, even if it's interior O-line, that they're going to have to shore up that offense.
Yeah, they released their starting center from last year, let him go there. The one I've seen mock now, I just did a hit with the Pittsburgh Station this morning, Graham Barton out of Duke. Been a big riser in this class, a ton of versatility along the interior. Played left tackle for the last few years at Duke, and listen, in a pinch I think could help you out there, but I think his best days between the power that he displays, some of the things he did in the run game out of a two-point stance, his lower body, how flexible he is, how strong his core is, I think this guy's got a super bright future. One of my favorite guys to watch in this draft class, what he did on the edge against some really powerful rushers in the ACC last year, I think bodes well for his transition to the inside. Him at 20 I've seen mocked a lot of places, so that seems like it could be somewhat of a foregone conclusion there as they continue to try and rebuild that offense in front of those quarterbacks there. Dad, now we start to get into the, you know, surplus category. The Baltimore Ravens picking at 30th overall. This is a team that stunned a lot of people by not making it further in the AFC playoffs last year with the way they were. Historically great track in the regular season. What do you see as a big need for Baltimore coming off last
year? They pick up one O-lineman and Josh Jones. They pick up Derrick Henry, which was huge. But they lost three O-linemen.
Yes.
So, and I love the way their defense plays. I mean, Kyle Hamilton is turning into an absolute star on that defense. But I like the way their defense is playing. So this is another reason why earlier when we were talking with Claudia giving us the odds, it was 9.5 offensive linemen. And while we both said over, I think we're going to see O-line again here.
Yeah, I would agree. Defensively, You had the brain drain certainly on the defensive coaching staff, but you kept the majority of your great pieces there. Matt Ebike, Roquan Smith, and yep. Kyle, like you mentioned, in the secondary. That spine of the defense really healthy. I think you can overcome that. And offensively, it's interesting because they rotated tackles a lot last year. And so
yeah.
you had Patrick McCarry, who got a ton of reps there, rotating in with Ronnie Stanley. Daniel Falele on the other side was going back and forth with Morgan Moses.
Monster
so
player.
Not totally inexperienced in that group, but we've seen Ronnie Stanley's dealt with a lot of injury over the last couple of years. Part of that rotation has been out of need there. So Jordan Morgan, who came on with us, I think would be a real fascinating fit. First off, just the size there. Daniel Falele was a mountain of a man. But Morgan, incredibly fluid athlete for his size. And I think in that scheme in Baltimore that's been really multiple, Todd Monken's a guy who likes to get guys out on the move. And that's something that when we talked to Jordan, he said, hey, I focused a lot more on getting out there in space, being a puller, working on screens. All that stuff would fit really well in that Baltimore
also
offense.
A guy, though, that could kick down because they lost two guards
sure.
in free agency.
I think in a pinch, like I still think because of what an athlete he is, some of the spots
the
he gets
outside,
in trouble,
yeah.
he gets going a little bit too much. So I'd be curious about that transition to the inside, but I don't think it's totally outside of his skill set. So Baltimore there, shoring that up, because again, these are garnishes on a team we expect to keep
right.
going off what their path was last year. The Cleveland Browns, a little more interesting, Dad. Their first pick doesn't come until the second round. So much of this team is, hey, you just need to make sure you do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson back in the driver's seat. So who do you like here for them?
Well, they also get Jameis Winston. Remember, they went through four quarterbacks last year, the last one being Flacco. He's gone sure. now. And I think the backup is important because, let's be honest, you can't count on Deshaun Watson being out there. I mean, he hasn't proven that, A, with suspension, we know what he went through, and then with injury. So you better be damn well set at the backup position, and now that's Jameis Winston's job out there. You know, Amari Cooper had himself a year. Njoku, the tight end, really kind sure. of flourished as well. These guys, again, with four quarterbacks to be able to do that. They picked up Deontay Foreman. They should get Nick Chubb back, but we'll see. I mean, he had a nasty knee injury, so others may have to pick up the slack until he can get back. Probably more help on the outside at wide receiver. I would imagine at that point one of the deeper, probably the deepest position in this draft.
Yeah, I've seen some places like if Keon Coleman gets down in this range, really impressive athlete. I know the time he ran gave people a little bit of pause. But the other thing I'd say is, like, especially if a couple of good guys bleed down further and maybe you trade back into the back end of the first round, O-line depth. Like, I know you draft Juwan Jones early on last year, but you had three tackles go down with knee injuries over the course of last season. O-line had been a strength. You lose Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, going over with his son to Tennessee.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.